Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what information was included in the minority census conducted in Germany in 1939? The Leo Beck Institute, located at the Center for Jewish History in New York, is devoted to the history of German-speaking Jews. Its 80,000-volume library and extensive archival and art collections represent the most significant repository of primary source material and scholarship on the Jewish communities of Central Europe over the past five centuries. The Institute is committed to preserving this legacy and has digitized over 3.5 million pages of documents from its collections, from rare Renaissance books to the personal correspondence of luminaries and ordinary people to community histories and official documents. LBI also promotes the study and understanding of German Jewish history through its public programs, exhibitions, and support for research and scholars. Michael Simonson is an archivist and registrar at the Institute. He recently gave a talk at a meeting of the Jewish Genealogy Society of Long Island about the minority census conducted in Germany in 1939. After his presentation, he spoke with us about the Leo Beck Institute and the minority census. Thank you very much for speaking with us today. Mm-hmm. Could you first tell us about the Leo Beck Institute, what it is and when and by whom it was founded and who Leo Beck was?
Yes, the Leo Beck Institute was founded in 1955. It was founded by Dr. Rabbi Leo Beck himself, but with a group of other German-Jewish immigrés that were living in London. And I use the term immigrés more for after the war. Rabbi Beck himself survived the war in the Theresienstadt ghetto in what's now Czechoslovakia. And after the war, he joined his daughter in England. And there were other people who had also been great thinkers of German-Jewish thought. And they wanted to form an organization to preserve the body of knowledge that German Jews had produced, particularly over the last century before the Shoah, but going back earlier as well.
So where is it located?
It is located at the Center for Jewish History, and we're one of five partners. There's five Jewish libraries in there, and we're one of them.
But you also have branches or something in other parts of the world, don't you?
We do. And we've actually, in many ways, each branch is somewhat autonomous, but we also do sometimes do stuff together and try and create an international presence among all the different branches. So there's New York, Berlin, London, and Jerusalem. Different places focus on different things. So London, for example, is publishing. They publish our yearbook.
Now, you're dedicated to the history and culture of German-speaking Jews. Do you mean only German Jews, or does this also include, let's say, I mean, aside from Austria where they speak German, let's say Jews in parts of Hungary and in other areas where they spoke German?
Yes, wherever they spoke German. So we have a pretty wide Central European scope, because if you think, as you brought up, of Austro-Hungary, for example, we have documents related to the time that much of Eastern Europe was part of Austria and the Austrian crown. But most of it has to do with Germany and Austria as we think of it today.
How far back do you go?
I think our oldest documents go back to maybe the 15th century, but that's very, I believe it's of a flooding. It's a description of the flooding of the River Rhine, and it's written in Hebrew. Mm. However, and then there's a lot more stuff, of course, as it gets closer in the 1600s, 1700s. And then the bulk of our material is the 19th and early 20th century.
Can you tell us about your archival collections, the contents, and the origin?
Sure. Yes, most of our collections are donated by private families. We're still getting a lot of material. People who brought material with them from Germany when they fled the country in the 1930s, or Austria, or stayed and somehow survived in Europe and came here after the war, will donate many different kinds of items to us, including photo albums, diaries, bodies of correspondence, notebooks, manuscripts, memoirs, even creative work that they have written. It can be almost anything.
Tell us about your public programs.
Yes, we have public programs. We have concerts. We have talks. We try and have a wide breadth of subjects that we touch on. It can be about famous artists or scholars of the 19th century. Some of it is about the Holocaust, though we're much more than the Holocaust. I mean, a lot of us think of us, I think, as a Holocaust institution. And though that, of course, is very important, clearly, we really try and cover the whole scope of German-speaking Jewish history.
Who comes to these programs, do you know? And how many people?
Yeah. We have, for example, I'd call them learned talks, learned talks. And we get maybe a few dozen people. And sometimes we'll have bigger programs that, you know, can have many, many people, kind of more well-known speakers of the subject, like, say, sometimes in the past we've had Henry Kissinger, we've had members of the Morgenthau family recently. Every year we give an award to a person who is or is some literally or is somehow connected with German Jewish history. And then there's a big dinner and award ceremony. So that's the highlight event of the year. But that's different than, of course, all our lectures. And we also have films sometimes, concerts.
And who is your audience?
The audience is very mixed, actually. Many times it's descendants of the families themselves who are interested in the culture they come from. That's a lot. We also sometimes have more kind of educational events, and that can draw more younger people as well.
What specifically do you do there?
So I'm an archivist, actually, and I do a lot of copyright and permissions for the archival material, and I do the reference. Basically, I'm the reference archivist for the Leo Beck Institute. So if people have a question, they write me.
That was sort of my next question. Mm-hmm. Is the Institute open to the public, to people in general who want to find out about their ancestors, or how can they contact you? Do people just walk in off the street?
Yes, all those things. It's best to contact me through email, but in truth, you can just go to the Leo Beck website, www.lbi.org, and search for where you can ask a question, and that email comes to me. That's probably a much easier way. There can be any subject. Family history is a very popular one. Academic subjects are important. The history of the Holocaust. It can be any subject, really.
Do you get a lot of people who ask these questions?
Yes, we do get a lot. We get probably about 60 questions a week. So people have a great interest in it. I mean, as we are, you know, like comparatively a small organization, really. But yeah, we definitely have a lot of interest. I'd say half of the people are genealogists or interested in family history. Then there's a lot of people who come from Europe, actually, in particular Germany, who are writing books or dissertations, and then Americans as well. And then another facet of it is it's not necessarily Jewish subjects that are being researched. If someone's writing a book about Gustav Mahler, the composer, they may not be interested in the fact he's Jewish, but yet we will have archival material about him because he is of a German-speaking Jewish background. So that person may not be there doing research particular to the Jewish aspect, but yet they will come.
Do you also work with other institutions? I mean, I know you're located in the same building with YIVO and with others, but either within the United States or internationally, do you have a relationship with other institutions?
Well, internationally, we certainly have other relationships. We have relationships with the other Leo Beck Institute sites. And then we do have working relationships. Many times they're based around exhibits. They're based also around publishing houses, people who publish our work a lot, so mostly academic publishing. Yeah, and other Jewish institutions as well, sharing resources for research use.
Today you gave a talk on the 1939 German census. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about that, not as much in depth as you did at the talk, but, you know, more or less, if you could tell us something about it.
Sure. It's a very valuable tool for genealogists, which is the audience today. And it was a census that the Nazis conducted in May of 1939. And it was supposed to be of all non, as they would have called it in the Nazi time, all non-Aryans who were still living in Germany as of May 1939. And so it lists the people's names, where they lived, their birth date, where they were born, secondary education. So it actually has a lot of information helpful for genealogists to go further in tracing their ancestry, especially the fact that it lists the towns the people were born in. So then the researcher knows to look for records for a particular town.
How did they go about doing this?
Through the mail. They sent forms through the mail to Jewish households and to households where they suspected there was people of a Jewish blood. They also did a kind of minority targeting by how people's last names sounded. By this time, there had already been a lot of work, let's call it, of identifying who was Jewish and who was not. So they already had a pretty good idea of households that had what they would have called a Jewish blood.
Why is this census important now?
It's important now, especially for genealogists, in that it allows people to trace their ancestry farther back by using the information on the form, so they can go to the towns where their ancestors were born and begin to look there. That's the most important lead. And secondly, it also serves as a reminder of the Shoah in a way. It's actually a testimony, in a sense, because the people signed their own names. They're filled out by hand. And often, for the Jews remaining in Germany in May of 1939, many of whom were unmarried and elderly people, it is kind of a last trace of their lives.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that we might have left out?
We're open to the public, and we can be reached on email. That's the easiest way. And so if you do have an interest in the history of German-speaking Jewry, for whatever reason, please check out our website and feel free to email. The email will come to me.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.